leaning on God's word. I just had it ingrained into my being, you know, through my own doing, that I was supposed to fix things myself as much as I could. And then if I couldn't fix it, turn to the Lord. That's not good, because I can't fix really much nothing. And if I did, it's not going to have the lasting effect as what the Lord and His Word can fix in my life. Because the Word says that Jesus Christ, and He is the Word, because it says so in John 1:1, is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And when you put the Word on your life, and you speak the Word, and you speak it in faith, it works. And the only time it don't work is when you don't do it. And maybe there's, I don't know if there's anybody here, but maybe there's somebody out there that needs to hear more about it. It won't hurt me to hear it, because I went through stages in my life. You know, I know now, I remember when I got the revelation that I had authority over the power of the devil. Because even though, y'all know my background here, I always thought that I had this battle going on, and I had to fight. Well, the only thing I've got to fight is myself, because Satan is already defeated. He's done for. The only power he has at all over a born-again Christian, and what really gave me a burden for this, I'll tell you about that in a minute, the only power he has over a born-again Christian is the power of deceit, and it's not really power, it's just lies. That's all it is. He lies to you. Well, when I first got born again, I was struggling. He lied to me. I didn't have to figure anything out by myself. That's what I got the Lord and His Word for. It's what God put Jesus on this planet and died for, paid the price for. I have got victory in all points of my life. And even whenever I started hearing that, where at? In church. Praise God. This being Pastor Appreciation Sunday, Pastor, I love you with all my heart. The Lord didn't tell me to get up here and brag on you a whole lot. But I'm going to brag on you some. Both of you and Sister Teresa both. But I'm bragging mostly and giving God glory. Because if this church had not been here, you know what happened? Monty Hall, and let me stop right here a minute. Sister Teresa, that idea you had about asking people if they're born again when we pray for them in the lines on the giveaway, a very good idea. Very good idea. I was asked to pray for, I think, 3 people, and one lady was right toward the end. And I asked them all, I said, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? All 3 of them said, yeah. And then I asked them again, if you died right now, are you positive you'll go to heaven? Well, 2 of them said yes. The 3rd lady said, I'm not quite sure. Well, you know, I don't want to blurt out, well, ma'am, you just ain't saved. You need to be saved. I had inside me, I had this feeling. And forgive me, the Baptist I grew up in call it a burden. But what it is, it's an unction from the Holy Spirit. It's compassion for that person because they may be lost. I have one for people that don't know, especially, because I wandered around all my life thinking I was. Then it got to the point, well, I'm not quite sure. And then when I finally realized that I wasn't, it's when I got born again right here, because I said, Lord, I want what the people I've seen in my past had that didn't make them want to give up. They always held on to you. They always held on to your word. They never stopped. I want that. I got born again. That's what they had. This lady didn't have that, and I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but I took about 15 or 20 minutes standing there talking to her, and she didn't want to say the prayer of asking Jesus to come into her heart again. I said, well, I'm not trying to get you to if you are, but I said, I will pray for you and ask the Lord to stir this up inside of you, and if you're not, come to church and let's get this fixed, because it's not good. But that's where the speaking the word of faith begins. When the heart starts believing the word of God, the Holy Spirit starts moving. We start putting the seeds of the word of God in people's heart. Through what? Speaking the words of faith that we're taught, that we believe, that we feel, that we know. And because if you're born again, as it says in James, there's going to be works. Think of it as fruits, actions. In other words, if you're born again, you're going to be drawn toward God and the things of God. You're going to want to hang on. But it's not always easy. Now, don't get me wrong. Serving God is not hard. What's not easy is living in this world and keeping all your things in ducks in a row, for lack of a better term. for a long time, I didn't have my ducks in a row. Well, I realized that, so I'm asking the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. Because there's a lot of people, their future doesn't look good to them in this country and all, especially all over the world. Things don't look so good for them. They don't have a foundation to look back. I know. Everybody in this room that's born again knows, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, if this world explodes tomorrow, no matter what happens, you know, you have a foundation, and that foundation is God and His Son and His Word. And I thank God for it. But as we live through this world and we spend more time in this world being born again and having to live in this world that don't want God's Word in it, don't want God's way in it, because who is the ruler of this world? Satan is. And he is our enemy because he knows. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I think he figured out a long time ago, he knows how we're made. God knows how we're made for sure because he made us. But when I got the revelation that I knew how God made me and what I could do and what I couldn't do, which what I can't do is very, very little, and it's usually, and most of the time it's all my fault or I'm out of God's will. But what I can do through Philippians 4:13 and my Father which is in heaven is unlimited according to his will and purpose for my life. So God started working on me and he started picking things out of my life. Well, the first thing was finances. I could believe God that I was born again. I got that hurdle straightened out. I spoke the word of faith. I'm born again. It's never left me. Don't you remember that? It took God several years and Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty and my wife April to get me over the hurdle of believing God about finances. Now, it wasn't that I didn't believe God would not take care of me. It's just whenever a battle would come up, I just didn't fight it right. Number one, when you got a problem with finances, it's more than clear in the Bible what you need to do. Number one, you speak to it. And I'm getting way ahead of myself. But you got to speak to it. You can't do like I did and sit and think about it and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? What I should have done is went and got God's word and said, Lord, show me what I am to do about this. And what I'm to do about that is read his word and speak. And I'm going to show you some scripture where there's not a thing in there about thinking, about dreaming, about any other thing with faith and the word of faith except one, speaking. You know why that is? Well, y'all don't know it, but it just stirs me up. It's because it's how we're made, and God knows it, and he gives us the word to do that. But if you want a financial breakthrough, if you want healing for your health, you want true happiness and peace, and I'm not talking about for a day or two or 3 weeks or 4 weeks of time, I'm talking about true peace, that foundational peace I was talking about earlier, no matter what happens. You want to break generational curses. You want to start receiving life and life more abundantly. I have to give April, my wife, credit. She came to this church. She heard the word of faith spoken. She spoke the word of faith, received Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she has not looked back. Now, she's had about three major bumps in the road that I can tell you about in 11 years. But she didn't give up. Just, they were kind of hard. Every other time, she would speak the word of faith and get on to me if I didn't. She broke a generational curse in her family. It stops at her. It went on with her mother. It went on with her grandmother. It went on, and her great-great-grandfather was a man of God. And somewhere between there and her, there was a generational curse that affected her family. She stopped it on her line of the family tree. Her children heard the word of God. What they do with it as they get grown is their choice. But between me and her, we brought them to the house of God. We had let them hear the good word, the word of faith being spoken over their lives, and showed them. And even though I was, you know, sometimes she had to drag me, and I'm not bragging about that. I'm the leader. And it's hard. Wives, a man, I mean, it's hard if you get kind of weak on your wife. You're the leader. She shouldn't have to lead you. God leads us. Whenever we get weak, look at it this way. I was talking about the foundation of peace and the truth and everything else a while ago. What if we thought God was weak? What happens to that? That's what happens in your family whenever the family looks and sees that the husband and the father is weak. And I'm not getting on to anybody. The Lord has told me to say that. That's my revelation. I had to pick myself up, and between April dusting me off and the Lord smacked me a little bit and me getting myself straightened out, I am not weak anymore. Now, I have times, like everybody else, I have trials. I have ups and downs, but I'm not weak. So the Lord got me through. I spoke the word of faith to become born again. Then I got over the hurdle and spoke the word of faith against finances. I don't have trouble with finances anymore. I get aggravated, and I tell the devil, you're not coming against my finances. So I'm going to tell you what happened. I seen this. I think the Lord gave me kind of a vision. I say I think because I can't say, I just seen it. But in my mind, I see this. The devil's out there and he's looking at me. Well, he didn't bite that one. Remember what Brother Scotty said, biting that bullet? The devil's going, whoo. He ain't got no bullets. He's got a lie, and he's shooting a lie at me. And he looks and he said, well, he didn't bite that one again. Boy, he's starting to think hard now and said, okay, I'm going to shoot this one. He didn't bite that one. I'm going to shoot this one. Well, he didn't bite that one this time. That one's always worked. Now, he had one shooting at me for the last few months. It has to do with my work. I ain't even going to get into that. But just, I'm going to tell you, just in the last couple of weeks, I finally spoke the word of faith over it and put it behind me. And what's he going to shoot next? I don't care, don't know, don't matter. Because I'm going to speak the word of faith. You might say, well, Brother Monty, what is that? The spoken way, the word of faith, comes from the word of God. In many, many places, you have to have faith to speak it. Because if you say, I have faith, and it's not in you, you're not going to speak it. Jesus said so. That's the way we're made. That's another awesome thing about us. You know, we've all, I figure, coming from the same geographical area, at least where I was raised in Georgia, people who I was raised around hated two-faced people. Even the most no-good person hated a two-faced person. Well, what's a two-faced person? Say one thing to your face and do another behind your back. Now, if people, even bad people and good people, don't like a two-faced person, you know, God don't like it. So if you speak, say, I've got the faith of a mountain, and I'll just take me, and you were doing some of the things I were doing, and it's going to come out. Because sooner or later, you can't speak what you don't have. You might can fake it. How many times? I don't know. I ain't the judge of that. But sooner or later, because Jesus said, the mouth, this will speak the abundance of this. So what you put in here is going to come out. But anyway, the spoken word of faith is a powerful Bible-based proclamation that will move mountains, break chains, defeat all adversaries that intend evil and destruction toward any born-again believer. Now, if you just want to put words on it, that's a definition for it. Bottom line is, make it pure and simple, a born-again person that loves the Word of God, obeys the Word of God, and obeys the will of God, and keeps his faith strong in the Word of God, and says, no matter what, I trust in you, Lord. That's a spoken word of faith. It's just one example. It says, we put Isaiah 55, 10, 11, please. Now, this is in the Old Testament, but it says in the New Testament for all of the people, especially out yonder that hear my voice, that all Scripture is good for what? That's right. Reproof. For instructions in righteousness. All Scripture, front to back. But it says right here, God speaking, and he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, I know that's God saying that. I ain't saying that's us. But you get on over in the Bible, and I'm going to show you by Scripture that God has said as surely as His Word. Now, what is spoken to us? His Word. We take His Word and we do what? Like David did. We hide it in our heart and we memorize it. What did I say a while ago? What's in here? What happens? It comes out. You speak it. So if you're speaking God's Word, this will be activated because God said, my Word. And His Word is what goes in us if we so choose to put it in us. And I'm as guilty as anybody as too much Facebook, too much games sometimes, and too much this and too much that. And I'm working my way to get out of that, and I've got to just completely stop it because I found out one thing. When I start laying stuff down and I start picking God's Word up, things change. My daddy used to have a tag on the front of his car that said, prayer changes things. That's true. Studying and reading God's Word will change it also. But I just want to read you that scripture. If that's God's Word, and it is, I don't mean if, I mean since it's God's Word, and He speaks it, and it's spoken into our life, and we speak it, it shall do what? It shall not return void. You know what? If anything in the world could limit the Holy One of Israel, what is it? Brother Scotty? That's right. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. That don't make God's Word void. That makes it means it stopped working. You want to make it stop working in your life? I'll be the first one to tell you how to do it, but don't do it. Because I'm not going to tell you how to do it. That don't make sense, does it? It means I can tell you, but I'm not going to, because I want to speak life to people. The lady I spoke to out there, you know, I told her, I said, I don't mean to hold you here for so long. If you don't want me to talk to you, tell me and I'll shut up. She said, no, I want to hear what you got to say. So I was telling her scriptures and things, and I said, I want you to ponder on these things. I told her, which brings me to another thing. If the spoken word of faith in your life and you're born again, you should be able to lead someone to Christ. You should be able to speak these words of faith. There's some key scriptures that the Holy Spirit will help you with. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent, that it gave His Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17 also. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. Confess means to speak. It's a synonym for speaking. Thou shalt be saved. That's a minimum. Every born-again believer should know that. You should be able to lead someone to Christ. Number one, there was a time in my life that I was wanting to lead people to Christ a long time ago, and I would witness, and I would witness, and I would witness, and I'd ask the Lord, Lord, how come somebody, I mean, I understand Your Word, and I never did get an answer. I know what the answer is now. I didn't have a light to shine, do you understand? I was not born again. I was speaking Scripture Word. But nobody's looked at me and say, I want what you got. When you're born again, Lord, this ain't nowhere in my notes. When you're born again, everybody in this world should look at you and say, I don't know what he's got. Boy, I'd sure like to have it. Remember what I told you I prayed? You know why? Because I seen people. I called them preachers and the men because that's who I was around most, because my daddy's a preacher. And I went everywhere with him after I got old enough to, you know, understand, shut down and be quiet, son. I was 6 years old in camp meetings where there was nothing but preachers there. I heard preaching for 15 hours a day. And you might think, well, why didn't you get saved? Well, when I was younger, I said, the words, "Lord Jesus, save me." I was 6 years old. Mrs. Bowling, I'll remember it to this day. In the Sunday school class of Belle Claire Heights Baptist Church in Clearwater, South Carolina, 1967. How do you remember all that if you didn't get saved? Because I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, what's the difference between April the 20th, 2014 and 1967 in South Carolina?" And I heard two words, "Your light." Man, I tell you what. In other words, all the time, and that's the reason I've asked my kids a lot. They got born again at a young age. And I've asked all of them, you can ask them, "Are you sure you're born again? I want to know if you died right now, do you know you'll go to heaven?" Most people will not tell you yes if they don't believe that. I lived most of my life and couldn't say yes. And I said, "Well, I'm born again." And the Bible says, "If I'm born again, I'll go to heaven." I was not born again, folks. But if you're born again and people see what you got, especially if they're around you, say at work, and sometimes it don't have to be every day, a lot of times, and sometimes it's just one occasion, that's the reason that we need to do what we've been hearing for so long, myself included: walk in the Spirit, walk in love, walk in unity. Don't accuse the brethren. Don't offend the brethren. Look to the Lord. Don't let things get to you. Now, I'm not trying to stand up here and preach to anybody or say anything to anybody. I'm talking about me. Do you understand me? I'm talking about me. I can speak all of this through personal experience and revelation. But we see that God's word goes out, will not void. It gets in us and we speak it. It's still not void. It's still good. And that, when it says will not void, that means it's not useless words. Now, Jesus tells us that we will be held accountable for our words. Now, if God holds us accountable for our words, we'll be judged by them one way or the other. If we're held accountable, don't you think he holds himself accountable? That means his word, for a fact, is not useless. And when we get it, it don't become useless unless we let it limit its uselessness or limit its uselessness and use in our lives through our unbelief. Man. If you were going somewhere on a trip, climbing a mountain, I don't know, you got a destination in mind, and you want to go see something, we'll just put it that way. You see a lot of things before you get to that destination. But what you got in your mind, what you're going to see, what's a place, person, thing, whatever, you won't see that, what's at that destination until what? You get there. That's where a lot of born-again believers get tripped up. That's where I was getting tripped up. I would let go before I got there. Now, sometimes I was slow, but I'd get there, but sometimes I'd let go. Not every time, but sometimes. In this world, it's really hard to see progress in your spiritual life if you don't see things out here to back it up. I was not getting any revelation from the Lord for quite a while. And the number one thing that got it started when I started speaking the word of faith over my problems. And I started getting to the end of that destination I had in my sights. The prayer I prayed at times said, "Lord, something's going on. You know, I'm not quite sure what it is. Help me. Guide me." Well, the first thing I heard was to prepare yourself in my word. So I started reading the Bible more and reading things about the Bible more, listening and preaching. I got revelation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about the skies opened up. To me, it felt like it. Because when God gives you revelation about something, you get to that destination, you know what that tells you? That spoken word of faith happens in Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. And that's not the only scriptures. I don't even know if I'll get... It's taking a lot longer. I must talk slow. But we have we've done the men's meeting. One of the revelations I got was Hebrews chapter 11. And I hope I did not bore Brother Johnny and Brother Travis and Brother Scotty to death with that, seemed like 3 month study we did in Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know how long it was, an hour at a time. But it was my revelation that I was sharing with the men. And every one of the people in that book that it names off, they all had the spoken word of faith in their lives, and they did it. And God showed up, and as the world likes to say, or some people like to say, he showed out. In other words, he didn't just show up. He didn't just say, okay, I'm here. He was here, and his glory and everything about him came into being supernaturally like it's supposed to. Abraham proclaimed it. And will you put up Genesis 22:5, please? We all know the story of Abraham. God told him to get up out of here, away from all these ungodly people. It's your family, and you go over here where you don't know nobody, and you ain't nothing, and I'm going to plant you, and I'm going to bless you. So Abraham goes over here, and all these years, he don't have any kids, and he tries to have one through Hagar, and it doesn't work out. And God tells him that's not the son of promise Isaac is. So Isaac is, born, and he's alive. And God tells him, if you love me, go kill your son. Offer him up as an offering to me. Whew! That's some mighty words, folks. But Abraham, it records in the Bible, it says that Abraham believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. In chapter 21 is where God told him Isaac is the seed of promise. Now in chapter 22, God's telling him to go kill him. Offer him for a sacrifice, and put it a little better in godly terms. God said, offer him as a sacrifice to me that you love me. Abraham takes off, gets all his stuff together, and he takes off, got people with him, got stuff for the sacrifice. And Isaac sees all this, but they don't have an offering, so to speak, because they usually offer animals. So they're on their way. And God tells him, he says, Abraham looks up and he's seen a place, and God told him that's where I want it to happen. I'm paraphrasing because I ain't got a lot of time. So Abraham tells the people that's with him, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, which that means donkey, and I and the lad, which is Isaac, will go yonder and worship, and what? Come again to you. I and the lad. Right before that he said unto his young men. That scripture is a clear example of the spoken word of faith working before it happened. So we know the story. He goes up and he goes as far as he's just about to take the life of Isaac. And Jehovah Jireh shows up and says, stop, in the form of an angel. I now know. God knows a lot of things and God knows everything. But what God's saying is, I now know, I see the works that in your spoken word of faith that is working. And I know that you love me and you'll do what I say. And God never had another problem believing. I say believing because in our language, there's not a lot of good words. He never had another problem. And in other words, Abraham never had to go through this particular test again. Because his spoken word of faith showed up. His works matched it because it came from the abundance of his heart. And God honored it with even more righteousness. And God will do the same thing in our lives. Now, I've never heard of anybody else, God asking anybody else to sacrifice their child. Number one, because when Jesus came, there is no reason to sacrifice anything for anybody anymore. Jesus paid for it all. I've got to make a half a page real quick. It says in Genesis, God spoke and things were created in this natural world. He created light. He separated the lesser light from the bigger light, which is day and night. He created land, he created water, created animals, created man. God created this natural world. Now, also, and that's in Genesis chapter 1. If you go read it, I'm sure all of us have probably read it. Read it again. It'll give you some revelation. Trust me. I used to think, you know, I don't need to read Genesis. Yes, I do. Genesis will give me some revelation. But going forward, that's the natural world God created. And now we all know that we give over the rule of the natural world to Satan and sin, and the power of sin over our lives is dominating. God judged the world once with a flood, and then he gave everybody grace to live under until New Testament times. Jesus came, and he was born of a virgin. He was the only begotten Son of God, meaning he was the only man born by a woman, but yet being God also. But he laid his glory of being God in heaven and lived as a man on this earth. And he was crucified and gave us an offering for us, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. He not only did that to forgive us and take the punishment for our sins and the sin curse, he did that to give us authority and have life more abundantly that he spoke of in John chapter 10:10. The list ain't short that Jesus died for. It's long, folks. That was a revelation to me. And I praise God for it. Because now Satan's sitting back and he's looking at me and he says, I got to sling something else at him, but I got that and he's got that and he's got that. He might come up with something. Who knows? He's really, really sneaky. But he's got nothing that if I will do right, will not, that will penetrate this. All I have to do is keep this in here. It sounds like it's simple, right? Why do we have such a hard time with it? I'll say, why do I? Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I'm going to be honest. I can't stand up here in this pulpit and lie. God don't like that. Sometimes I have a problem with it. Sometimes I don't. You ever notice sometimes you say, oh, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to do that. Don't just take anything. It don't matter what it is. You really kind of don't feel like wanting to do it. But you get out and start to do it, and you say, well, this ain't all that bad. The same way with this. All that is the curse of this world trying to get to you. As a born-again Christian, it's going to be strongest when you do this. Trust me, I know. But when you do, when you start reading, you start putting into your account, I'm going to call it an account in your heart, the spoken word of faith account. Because when you start reading it in here, and it gets in here, you'll know how to get it out here. And between doing all you can of this when you're not here, and getting all of this you get when you are here, that takes away most of our problems. Now, there's other things we need to do. We need to spend time with God in prayer. But if you go to his word, look, this is just like me going up here and sitting down saying, Lord, I'm going to do it this way. How you doing, Lord? I just want to talk to you a little while. Yeah, things don't look so good right now, but, you know, you said, and I believe you. That's exactly what happens right here when you get in his word. You have a conversation with God. You don't have to do the wherefore and thous and thens and thereofs. Talk to God. You know, tell him what's on your mind. Even if you don't think he wants to hear it. And what I mean by that, well, you know what, I don't think it'd be a good idea if you go to God with a bunch of foul language. He don't want to hear that. You know, I was raised that no matter what, you never ask why. God don't mind you asking why. Because he's got the answer right here. If you go to him and say, Lord, I don't know. I want to know why. I don't know. I've done that before. And he's answered every single prayer. And he did it when I got in this. But what stirred me up about all of this is talking to that lady. I know what's fixing to happen in my life, I think. I say, I think I know. It don't make sense. But I can't say that God has said it, but I feel something stirring up inside of me. And when it comes out, I don't even know what's going to happen. But I know there's something in here that is like a volcano. And I feel it. And God's lining some stuff up in my life to where it's going to come about. I know it is. Number one is I ask Him. And it ain't just because I ask Him. It's not that Monty Hall is anything special other than I love the Lord with all my heart that I know of. Put your name into anything in this Bible, like Brother Scotty says. In any scripture, any verse, say, Lord, I want to speak the spoken word of faith when I speak. I want to do what you do. I want to be what you say I am to be. I got two kids grown. And I told both of them, Damien's fixing to be legally grown and on his own. He's fixing to get a, hell, he's got some eye opening. Damien's a very smart boy. He's really smart. He's wise for his age. But I told at the men's meeting, he was talking about colleges and stuff. Man, he's got a list of colleges this long. He got mail on the table sending him stuff, and he's going to visit them. And I'm not going to tell him he went and visited one he don't like. And he said, well, I might not like them, but if they give me more than everybody else give me, I'll go. That's smart. But I told him, I said, it don't matter what you do. I said, there's a saying in the world that said you can be anything you want to be. But I said, I'm not going to tell you that. I said, find out what God wants you to be, and you'll never be a failure at anything if you're doing what God wants you to do, no matter where it's at, what it's doing. Now, I've seen God work in his life. He went to work at Sonic how long ago? A year ago. He's a manager. He's diligent about working. Boy, it works. You know, he comes to church too. Sometimes he has worked 7 days. Most of the time it's at least 5 or 6. And he's diligent. He works. And God's rewarding that. And I'm praying, you know, Damon don't tell me everything he does, but I'm praying that he seeks the Lord what he's doing. That's my prayer for him. In other words, I'm speaking a word of faith over this child. Because if I've got $1 million and I give him $1 million and I say, go out there and be anything you want to be, what'd the prodigal son do? He could have been anything he wanted to be. But in the end, he had to come back to where? The Father. Now, putting that in parable perspective, in the end, you can go out there and be anything you want to be. And if you don't speak the word of faith over your life, if you're a born-again Christian, chances are, you're not going to be successful where God, if you happen to be successful, it's only by, I don't know what, that you're doing what, a piece of what God wanted you to do. But why do you want partial success if you know you can have total success? I'm going to tell you why some people want it. Because there's a being flying around in the supernatural world out here, the spirit world, that's shooting them things that you call lies, that he wants to make you think are bullets and make you think that you can't have nothing that you can't see or touch or feel. He's a liar. Well, I had a revelation, Brother Tony, I was listening to one of his sermons, Brother Tony Evans put it this way. A man comes up and points a gun at you and your family and you're out shopping and says, I'm going to kill you, tell your family to get on the ground. What are you going to do? Get your family on the ground. You love them. You don't want them hurt. And then while you're laying there on the ground and he's pointing a gun and says, I'm going to kill one of them, and you happen to see, for whatever reason, that gun's not loaded, boy, I don't care how big that dude is. If I don't win, he's going to have scars to tell a good story. That's my family. At least it'll give them a chance to get away. That's all the world it is with Satan. When I had that revelation, things started changing for me. But you can have your faith, but you got to put it into action. Like Brother Scotty says, if I give you $20 to get gas, don't tell you got $20, you ain't going to get no gas with it. If you got $500 million worth of gas, gallons of gas sitting at your house, and you're riding around in your car and you run it until it runs out of empty, what good does that do you? You have to speak the word of faith in your life. That's one of the things Jesus died for. In Genesis, God spoke to the natural world. Nowadays, after Jesus came in this world now, and Jesus came and died and gave us the authority, in the supernatural world, nothing happens until God or His representatives speak. Who's His representatives in this world? We are. The born-again Christians, believers, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You speak the divine proclamation out of the Holy Bible. And I already give you that definition of the proclamation. And that divine proclamation is a spoken word of faith. What does it mean by divine? It means God invented it. It is God. It's His. But He gave it us to use through Jesus Christ and what Jesus paid for. Now what happens if somebody gives you something to use and you don't use it? In the natural world, if I give you a, Brother Johnny, give him a tool to use and he lays it up on the shelf, nothing happens to it. I mean, he doesn't ever use it. What happens to it? Well, in the natural world, it gets rusty. It don't want to work. If you do get it to work, you got to take it out and work with it, if it's usable. In the spirit world, in the supernatural world, the same thing is true with us. Now, can you lose a spoken word of faith? Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, because since the Lord has brought it about in my life, I don't want to know about losing it. I'm going to venture to say that when you don't lose it, as the Bible says about the Israelites, you will at least, at the very least, limit God to work in your life. And the way it is in this world, the way I see how this world works, when you don't use the things that God gives you, and we're going to start very simple here, okay? You got born again, and you start going to church, but then you stop going to church. What happens? If you stop going to church, you stop thinking about the things of church, of God, of His Word, meeting together in assembly and worshiping. And eventually, you don't use it at all. So then, if you ask me, that's the same as losing it, if you ever had it. I don't want to be there. Because I remember what my life was like before I got the Lord in my life. And here I am running out of time. But I'm going to say this. If there's anybody that needs to hear this, I just said what the Lord had to say to me. But I'm going to read you something the Lord gave me. I pray over myself a lot. It says, I, Monty, speak boldly this proclamation in authority of Jesus' name, believing in faith that the Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation. I fear no one or no thing because the Lord is my strength. In Him only do I trust. In my time of trouble, He shall be my hiding place. In my time of rejoicing, He shall be who I praise. And on the authority of God's word, I will live my life in Him, for Him, and in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. I receive all things You have given me, Lord, that Your Son Jesus paid for, the price of His blood, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now those are snippets of scripture and things in my heart I put together. I pray that over myself since I found that hurdle in my life that I needed to get over. If you're sitting and thinking about your problems, why not try sitting and speaking word, God's word on them? That's what the Lord showed me. That's all I got this morning. If anybody got anything they'd like to say. Good morning. I love y'all. I ain't speaking that in faith. Oh, go ahead.